When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
You're gonna notice that there's gonna be some outdoor noises in this one because I'm actually recording this one on a walk. I am being safe. I have a mask. Staying away from people. I'm walking on like largely not very busy streets. Oh, you're gonna hear some cars. Like, here comes one now. Anyway, thoughts, questions, wonderings. This is some classroom language that I use a lot. When I'm checking for understanding or when I'm looking for interaction in terms of like exploring ideas with the students, I'll stop and I'll say, any thoughts, questions, or wonderings? Now, wonderings, that's kind of a funny word. It sounds almost a little bit like a woo-woo word, right? But I think I find that it has a lot of utility for me, and I'm not prescribing it to anybody else. But I am using it as a modeling exercise to think about the language we use in our workshop environments and how that can be crafted through a little bit of perspective taking, okay? So why do I use thoughts, questions, or wonderings? I learned pretty quickly when I started teaching that there is a certain amount of power that comes out of being, not like in most cases I'm the grown-up in the room because I work with younger people, but even when I teach adults, there's a power that comes from the implication of being an expert, no matter what your expert level is, right? Like, I know that I have a certain level of skill, but I would by no means consider myself a master. But then you think about, because I what I'm thinking about is the disparity between my skill level and, say, like Bill Sienkiewicz's skill level. It's a pretty big chasm. And I'm okay with that, by the way. I'm not asking for any compliments on this. But now think about that chasm from the perspective of somebody who's just beginning and they see the relative fluency that I'm demonstrating, right? And when you take that perspective, to be asked by that person, the quote-unquote expert, for feedback or input or observations, that can be incredibly daunting. Let's think about different kinds of students. Let's think about you when you were a student. When I think about me, it's like I always wanted to show up with an interesting question. I always wanted to impress the teacher with the level of, I was, in a lot of ways, I was a very much a little Lisa Simpson. Well, actually, I'll take it back. I was more of a Martin Prince. I wasn't necessarily like an excellent student to the level that he was, but in terms of being, wanting to please my elders, wanting to show them that I was attending to the stuff, I was very much that kid in a lot of ways. So if they said, do you have a question? That was a big ask for me. I felt a lot of pressure to really kind of show up with something clever. Now, take perspective of other kinds of students. Maybe you aren't the most verbally inclined. There's different kinds of learners, right? Maybe articulating your thought is not something that comes terribly easy to you. Maybe you operate primarily out of a sense of intuition and heuristics. You guess your way through it and you arrive at your conclusions and the work that you're doing through taste, touch, feel, and trial and error, right? Well, and then I ask you, well, explain what you did there. That might be, that for some people is a bigger request than other people, right? And so I use the word wondering to say, and I even elaborate on it, I'll say thoughts, questions, or wonderings. You don't have to show up with a fully formed question. You could just be wondering about something. I wonder about the color blue. Well, let's go there and let's investigate that together. For two reasons. One, I want them to feel safe to be able to express themselves in my workshop environment. And two is that, like, investigating it with them is probably going to unearth some interesting observations for them, the whole class, and me. I have learned a lot of different approaches, worldviews, through investigating ideas with my students in that way. In that kind of gentle way. So this is all to say is that I think part of the work of a teaching artist is to do some serious introspection and evaluate, like looking back on your life and thinking about the students that you knew growing up and how you felt when you were first encountering your work. when you decide to go on this vocation of whatever art form you do, think about how easily did you articulate what you were thinking about and what you were curious about, right? And think about other subjects that you learned. What kind of learner were you? And it'd be worth looking up the different kinds of the definitions of the different kinds of learning modalities, you know, visual, kinesthetic, auditory. It's worth looking those up and finding out what, you know, how educators define those, so you can begin to like sort of make a model for yourself of like different perspectives that you could be of service to in your classroom, and how you can modify the language, your own language, to create space for them to all engage with you and the subject that you're trying to get them excited about. So anyway, that's what I'm thinking about today. Classroom language. This is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com, where me and my buddy Rob Stenzinger are challenging ourselves and by extension everybody else to check in over the month of November with an audio journal about the work that we do as artists. And my particular theme this year is focusing on a series of essays in and around the idea of being a teaching artist, because that is a big part of what I do, and it's something I have a lot of passion for. And it's something where, like something I say as my role of programming coordinator at the Ann Arbor Comic Arts Festival is that cartoonists who share their expertise and enthusiasm with young people are my favorite kinds of artists. So that's another reason. It's like, I like to advocate for other artists to be able to step up and do this stuff too, because the world needs you. The world needs you to help integrate the arts into all kinds of experiences, to welcome and include all kinds of forms of expression from everybody. What's the harm? At the very least, what's the harm in introducing more creativity into people's lives? Okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember everybody.
Today, He-Man had to decide whether or not to chop down a tree. Now, the trees around you probably don't speak the way Sky Tree did. Or if they do, we haven't learned to hear them yet. But trees are living things. And when you respect a tree, you show that you care about all life. Life is a wonderful, precious gift. Learn to enjoy and respect it, and you'll be a happier, better person for it. Bye for now.